The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. Wanted to read to you from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge, and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Well, have you read your proverb for the day? There are 31 proverbs. A proverb a day, I was taught in college, a proverb a day keeps the devil away. A good little phrase. But Proverbs gives us wisdom so that we can hear and increase in learning. Now, I say all that to say this. If you're like most Americans, your heart and your attention has been focused on Southern California with the out-of-control wildfires, the devastation that is just ripping through so many families, so many businesses are lost, property is lost, lives are lost, people have been just devastated. And it's all a disaster that surely could have been mitigated. And so we have to look at it and say, all right, what are the lessons as we see this, as we pray for these dear people? What are the lessons that we can glean from this? Because a wise man will hear and increase in learning. The whole goal of the book of Proverbs is to give us wisdom. That's why it is a good practice for Christians to read a proverb every day, 31 Proverbs, one per day, and to ask God as you read, God, give me wisdom. And so as we look at any situation, we want to learn lessons in that situation. Now, when you're right in the thick of it, as those people are, it's hard to reflect. I mean, you're fighting the fire, and your number one priority and objective is to save lives, save property, put out the fire. And so we're praying for those first responders that are doing that. But it's hard not to have tremendous disgust and disdain for the people who were in charge of preventing this, who were asleep at the wheel. I mean, they did nothing. And so as we think about some of the lessons from the LA fires, the first lesson that comes to my mind is this lesson: leadership matters. Who you put in office, who you put in a position of leadership, from the governor to the fire chief to the mayor to all these people that have been put on the hot seat, who you put there matters. If you hire people because of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and you don't hire the best person, the most competent person, that is going to bite you. Now, I mentioned yesterday or Friday when I had Scott Coulter on the program that, when everything is smooth, you know, I can captain the cruise liner, the big ocean liner, you know, Carnival Cruise Lines and all that. I don't know anything about that. But if the water is smooth, there are no boats anywhere, I'm in the middle of the sea and it's just glass, it's really easy to do. I mean, you can get a monkey to do that because there's nothing you can do that is going to be wrong. It's like teaching your child how to drive a car and they're out in a gigantic field. There's nothing you can hit. No trees, no potholes, nothing. So anyone can do that. It's when the storms come. It's when the water gets rough. It's when you're driving the car and you're between those concrete barriers on either side. That's when it becomes difficult. And so leadership is tested, and your ability to prudently assess a situation, prepare for a disaster and all those things, that is tested when the trial comes. And I think we would all agree that California and Los Angeles in their leadership department get a big fat zero. It is just horrific what is happening, and the fact that it is preventable. Now, Todd Starnes was interviewing a representative from California named Kevin Kiley. This is what he had to say about the governor of the state and how he has done his job.
Well, it's absolutely devastating. I mean, this isn't my district, but I did spend a little time in that general area. And just seeing these scenes of absolute total destruction, these apocalyptic scenes, I mean, it is shocking. It is surreal. And frankly, Todd, it is the culmination of years and years of policy failure in California, where we've had absolutely insane forest management policies, insane water policies. We haven't adequately prioritized support for firefighting. We've had an insurance crisis that's been spiraling out of control. We have by far the worst homelessness situation in the entire country, and homelessness leads to a lot of fires as well. And all of this has gotten much, much worse during the Newsom administration. As a matter of fact, Newsom was caught lying about the amount of forest management that had been done in the state. Capital Public Radio, this is the NPR affiliate, did an investigation and found that Newsom had exaggerated the amount of work done by 690%. So he exaggerated almost seven times as much work as he actually did. And now, unfortunately, many, many people, because of all of these failures, the culmination of all of them, are paying an extreme price in the scenes that we're witnessing right now.
So that was Kevin Kiley, representative from California. This is what Kevin O'Leary, known as Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank, had to say about the leadership in California, namely the governor, Gavin Newsom, because the buck stops at the top. And as much as Gavin Newsom is trying to deflect and blame everybody under the sun except himself, I mean, that guy refuses to look in the mirror. It is just appalling. That's going to be another lesson that we're going to talk about. But listen to Kevin O'Leary express his utter disgust for the leadership failures in California.
California is a dumpster fire. And sadly, it is a dumpster fire. It's tragic what happened here. Gross mismanagement. We started talking about this with San Francisco, which is a war zone. And now LA, before this, was riddled with crime, people walking in and out of the stores, just stealing stuff. You've documented that forever. It is time for change. Gavin Newsom is a terrible manager. He is the Justin Trudeau of California. He's horrific. And obviously, people should want to make a change and hire somebody else. But I think it goes the other way. I think they're so tired of the rhetoric and the policy and the taxes and the mismanagement. You know, just watching that woman talk about, it's all over the internet now, where is the water pressure in my fire hydrant, to Gavin Newsom? And he says, it's a local thing. You can't say that when you're a politician. You have to own the problem. He doesn't even understand that. Time for him to get removed from office immediately.
That was Kevin O'Leary. I couldn't agree more. And then Pastor Jack Hibbs, who is there in Southern California, He's my kind of guy. He just doesn't pull punches. He stands up and speaks the truth and lets the chips fall. He was on our program last year when we were at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and so I had the joy of getting to meet him, getting to know him a little bit. But this is what he said to his church just, I believe it was yesterday.
We have watched the absolute exposure of the most incompetent, wait, reserve your applause to the end. Nobody can hide from this. Nobody can hide from it. There's no excuses. This is the wealthiest, most wealthiest state in the 50. We pay the most in taxes, we pay the most in gas, we pay the most in electricity. You name it, if it's in California, we pay the most for it. Why? Why? Because of our government. Why? Because of things that Sacramento does, because they can. Our flag of this state is an absolute abject lie. The flag says, California Republic. It is not. A republic is where the people decide and the people have their way. What has happened to California? And you prove me wrong. I challenge you today, if you don't like what I'm about to say. California has been under unmitigated Democrat 100% power control. Democrat. Supermajority. What does that mean, supermajority? It means nobody can oppose their decision making. And now you've got it. You've got a situation where a catastrophe came and the billions of dollars that you and I gave was diverted to other woke, stupid Democrat projects. That's not hyperbole. It is a fact. You don't like it, change your party. If you don't like it, change different. But I'm telling you right now, I'm upset and I'm angry, and it's the right kind of anger. I'm telling you this right now. When you open up a fire hydrant and nothing comes out, and then Joe Biden says, it's because we need electricity. It was turned off for the fire hydrant to turn on. In some cases, that might be true. If the fire hydrants are on top of a mountain, you need a motor to drive the water up. That's extremely rare, and it wasn't the case in these fires. Bad management. Horrific politicians who took your money and took trips like Karen Bass, the mayor of LA. She decided to go to Africa the week of the fires to be on a little trip that you paid for. She was really put out when she was told to come home. It didn't look bad. I mean, it didn't look good, that it looked very bad. You've got Gavin Newsom flying down here and then at a command center laughing it up with some people, and it's caught on tape. While he spends nine point so many millions of probably your dollars to buy himself a new house. It's time to replace the leadership in California. You don't need any more examples. These fires could have been stopped.
It was Pastor Jack Hibbs talking to his church about the disaster that is going on in California as a result of idiotic leadership. Now, I believe in my heart that Gavin Newsom may be the absolute worst governor in the history of the world. I mean, that guy, unless his goal is to destroy his state, then he gets high marks. He's doing a great job. But if his goal is for the betterment of the state, he gets an F plus or an F minus. I mean, he's just awful. And the lies that come out of that man's mouth are just appalling. Now, Elon Musk on his X platform is starting to call out Gavin Newsom. I love it. So Gavin Newsom posted this on Twitter X. Stop encouraging looting by lying and telling people it's decriminalized. It's not. It's illegal, as it always has been. Bad actors will be arrested and prosecuted. And so Elon Musk in his community notes, He adds this, California reduced the penalties for all theft crimes, including looting, to a misdemeanor if under $950 with Prop 47 in 2013 that Gavin Newsom supported. In 2024, voters repealed much of that with Proposition 36. Gavin Newsom campaigned against it. I love that he is being called out. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to play a clip that Adam Carolla did with Gavin Newsom, where he's just calling him out on his lies. This was back from 2013 when Newsom was lieutenant governor. But it is eye-opening. And these people need to be called out, and they need to tell the truth. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about what we can learn from the fires in Los Angeles. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about learning lessons from the disaster that's going on in Southern California. The book of Proverbs says a wise man will hear and increase in learning. You know, if you're a person who doesn't learn, who's just so unteachable, that's not a good quality. You know, you've heard before that the Lord wants fat disciples, fat, faithful, available, and teachable. I remember having a conversation with a staff member, and I said, here's your problem. You're not teachable. You just feel like you have everything figured out. You have to be teachable in life. God is looking for us to be faithful. He's looking for us to be available, to go where he says go, to have one response to his call, and that is, yes, Lord, and then to be teachable. Lord, teach me. I don't know these things, and teach me. And God teaches us, obviously, through his word, but he teaches us through circumstances. You know, one of the things when you read in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, two critical chapters, when the children of Israel were supposed to go into the promised land, they sent out spies, 10 faithless spies, 2 faithful spies. They came back. Joshua and Caleb, the faithful spies, gave a good report, but the 10 faithless spies said, we can't go into the land. There are giants in the land. We're going to get crushed. Why has he brought us out here? We should have stayed in Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. And they were getting ready to stone Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb and go back to Egypt. And the glory of the Lord appeared. And the Lord was very upset, to put it mildly. He was talking about wiping them all out. And this is what he said to Moses. He said, how long will this people spurn me, and how long will they not believe in me despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? I will smite them with pestilence and dispossess them, and I will make you, Moses, into a nation greater and mightier than they. And Moses interceded for the people, and God didn't destroy them, but he was going to. He's very, very angry. They weren't grumbling against Moses and Aaron. They were grumbling against God. And they hadn't learned through all the experiences they had gone through. And all the plagues that they saw God bring on Egypt, and the parting of the Red Sea, and manna that came down to feed them, and water from the rock, all the things that they got to experience, the great miracles. And they yet they still wouldn't believe that God will provide for his people. They were unteachable. They would not learn. You and I need to learn. So, as we mentioned at the top of the program, what did we learn from the LA fires? Well, number one, leadership matters. I think it was Barack Obama who said elections have consequences, and they really do. We need to do all we can to make sure we have free and fair elections, and people need to quit voting for fools to be in leadership. And as you probably have seen, people have been putting this on social media. What does DEI really mean? Diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. It means that people D-I-E, people die. And we've had people die in the California fires, and people lose everything in the California fires because of poor leadership. Extremely poor, beyond the pale poor leadership. As as it was noted there. You have fire hydrants. Jack Hibbs said, you know, you have fire hydrants that don't have water in them. You have reservoirs that are specifically for this purpose for fires. The Pacific Palisades Reservoir, you know, out of service. It's drained down. It's not connected to anything. You have water that you're not collecting for this purpose. You have debris and, you know, dead leaves and limbs and things like that that you're not clearing out from the forests. So it just provides a tinderbox for that fire to keep going. It's just insane. And here's something that should drive you crazy. Just as Jack Hibbs said, I'm angry, and it is a justifiable anger. It is righteous indignation. You know, not all anger is wrong. And if you look at the leadership of California and you feel righteous indignation, that is normal. That is natural. You feel for these people that have lost everything, and it was preventable. So much of it was preventable. They just want to raise up their hands and say, well, we can't control the winds and we can't control the fire, and why are you blaming us? Now is not the time to point fingers of blame. Now's the time to roll up our sleeves and, you know, they just deflect. Well, Gavin Newsom was in 2013, he was on a program with Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla is a conservative. And he wasn't accepting all the doublespeak from Newsom. And Gavin Newsom is, you know, he's the master. I wouldn't believe that guy if he told me the ocean has salt in it. I don't believe anything that comes out of his mouth. I saw a clip from Tucker Carlson. He said, I have never seen a guy who can lie without any kind of tell. You know, he doesn't get nervous at all. He doesn't, his palms don't seem to get sweaty. He doesn't, you know, kind of show that I am probably lying here. His heart doesn't seem to be racing. He just lies as easy as breathing. I mean, it's his nature to lie. I saw him on the debate he did with Ron DeSantis, and he's being told, these are the stats, this is what the information and the statistics show, and he said, I don't believe those, that's not true, and he would just flat out lie. You're telling him 2 + 2 = 4, and he says, in California, 2 + 2 = 5, and people love it that way. It was just mind-boggling. I think I posted on X that it looked like Gavin Newsom was auditioning for the role of an Antichrist, who is a liar and the father of lies. But here is the interchange between Gavin Newsom when he was lieutenant governor in 2013 and Adam Carolla.
Half of African Americans in the state of California, roughly half of Latino families, have no access to a checking account or an ATM. Things we take for granted. They don't have a checking
account. What's wrong with them?
And well, because they don't have the resources to sock those things away.
Why do we have them?
A lot of different reasons, but roughly half those families don't.
Where do they end up? Armenians have them?
But where they end up is in check cashing places.
But I want to know why those groups. Why those two groups don't have access?
Well, a lot of. Just happens to be that we can
so
talk
they're flawed?
About.
This.
No, they're hardly flawed, but they're struggling.
Genetically
folks are making
flawed.
Their word. Hardly, not absolutely.
But okay,
not.
So but
absolutely
do Asians
not.
Have this problem?
I mean, a lot of communities have. A lot of whites have these problems.
Oh,
but
so
I just,
that's not just black and Hispanic.
No, but it. But
why did you bring up black and Hispanic?
Because the magnitude is ominous.
But why so many of them?
It just happens to be the
just,
magnitude.
That's the way God planned it.
Not at all.
Well, it what just, happened to them?
There are a lot of issues, and with it, that the communities are struggling. A lot
why
of new
are they
immigrants.
Struggling?
A lot of different reasons. Lack
Hispanics
of opportunity.
Have been here. Blacks have been here longer than we've been here.
Well, we can surmise.
What
all
about
that.
Asians? They were put in internment camps.
Yeah, we in fact it all initiated at San Francisco. And
all right.
The Chinese Exclusion Act came
so
out.
So they
progressive
are they the
San
check
Francisco.
Are they the check cashing
a lot of
places?
A lot of Asians certainly do.
Oh, so why don't you conclude
because
them?
The only reason why is the magnitude.
Well, there's
the problem,
so many more.
The magnitude and percentage.
But there's
terms
no way to figure out how that happened.
Of Africa. We could talk about. You know what I'm dealing with? I don't want to have a sociological debate.
Sure,
I want
why
to deal
would
with
you?
Reality.
No,
here's why.
Why would you want to do that? Because the person from the Times wouldn't write good things about you if
God,
you did that.
No, that's not the case, because I want to deal
want to
with
get
reality.
Into that.
No.
You want to deal with reality.
I want to deal with the reality of people
is.
That are struggling, people are suffering. I want to deal with the problems in
why
a pragmatic
are they
way.
Struggling
I don't
and
want
suffering?
An idea. We can hold hands and surmise about all these underlying
why are they,
reasons.
I don't want to do that.
I want
to know why they're struggling. Why are they struggling?
A lot of folks are struggling because they can't find
why
jobs.
Why blacks and
because
Hispanics?
They're working.
Why blacks and Hispanics?
Across the board, all socioeconomic.
Okay, so everybody.
Everybody's struggling.
So Asians are suffering just as much as blacks.
The face of welfare is not an African-American family.
Oh, so
it's
Asian, Jewish, it's all of them.
Caucasian, it's
okay,
a lot
so
of folks
we're all
in society.
Struggling.
A lot of folks are struggling.
Okay.
That was Adam Carolla in 2013 giving Gavin Newsom what for with his comments. You know, those are good questions. Well, why are these things the way they are? Now, you have to take personal responsibility for your life. And you can't get around the fact, as the Lord says, when he reveals himself to Moses, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will not leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Now, we don't like that last part, and people can misinterpret that last part, saying, well, am I paying for the sins of my father and my grandfather? Well, not from a personal standpoint in terms of God is holding me accountable for their sins. I'm going to stand before God one day, and he's going to parade my father's sins before my eyes and say, you're responsible for those. Not at all. Ezekiel 18 makes it clear. It's personal responsibility. But you can't get around the fact that if your father didn't provide for your family, if he was an alcoholic and he was gone all the time and there was no provision brought to the family, well, that's going to be a difficulty for mom and the kids, because you're going to grow up in most instances, unless there's some big stack of money somewhere, you're going to grow up in poverty. And it's going to be very, very difficult for you. And why is it difficult? Because of the sins of your father. He didn't provide. He wasn't there emotionally, spiritually, materially. He wasn't there. And so people do struggle with that. And there are consequences. We don't live in a vacuum. Everybody in California right now that is in harm's way of the fire, they are suffering because of the ineptitude of the mayor, of the fire chief, of the governor, of the leaders that were given the responsibility to take care of these things, basic things that you're to take care of. You know, as Jack Hibbs said, in California, they focus on stupid stuff and they neglect the important things. Jesus told the Pharisees, you guys, you strain out a gnat and you swallow a camel. That could be said of California. They're so concerned about the environment that in their wasteful spending to protect the environment, they have destroyed the environment because they didn't do the things that they should have been doing. They should have been collecting the water. They should have been saying, who gives a rip about the smelt fish or whatever that little minnow thing is, you know, because we haven't, you know, the spotted owl or whatever else they're trying to protect. When you burn down the forests, you haven't helped yourself at all. And so leadership matters. And lesson number two, lying is a repulsive sin. It's just repulsive. And I'm glad that Gavin Newsom is being called out for his lies. It was very sad to see Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles, being asked by that reporter when she was at the airport, all these questions. And she just froze. Somebody said she looked like a second grader with her hand caught in the cookie jar. You know, she just wouldn't respond at all. And he kept saying, you don't have anything to say to these people. They're losing everything. They're losing their loved ones. They're losing their property. You have nothing to say. and you were in Ghana. Why does the mayor of Los Angeles need to go to Ghana on some taxpayer-funded trip? That makes no sense at all. And I think the other lesson that we learn in this, and it's a lesson for all of us, you have to hold all things loosely, because one day the Lord is going to test, for a believer, he's going to test your life with fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us about the judgment seat of Christ. It says this, beginning in verse 10, "According to the grace of God which was given to me," Paul said, "like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." He is the foundation of every Christian life. "Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." God is going to test us at the Bema judgment, B-E-M-A, looks like it should be pronounced Bema, but it's really pronounced Bema. At the Bema judgment, we are going to be tested by fire, and the Lord will test the quality of our works. People want to know how do works fit into the Christian life. Works aren't the root of the Christian life. You're not saved by works, but you're saved for works. And works are not the root, they're the fruit. And the Lord will examine all the fruit at the judgment seat of Christ. Anything done in the power of the flesh. You can do good things in the power of the flesh and bad things in the power of the flesh. Obviously, the bad things, we say, well, that's not going to glorify God. That'll be burned up. But you can preach in the power of the flesh. You can teach in the power of the flesh. You can witness in the power of the flesh. You can sing in the power of the flesh. You can lead in Christian activities in the power of the flesh. That's wood, hay, and straw. That will be burned up. But what will remain are those things done in the power of the Holy Spirit, those things that the Bible calls gold, silver, precious stone, and that will determine your reward. Hey, we need to learn to hold all things loosely, because everything belongs to God. We're not owners of anything. We're stewards. We're managers, and we want to be faithful to the Lord. Well, we're up against a break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, we're talking about the lessons that we can learn from the LA fires. I would love to hear from you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Hey, I wanted to tell you about the American Family Radio campaign that starts today, January 13th, and ends on January 22nd. It's with preborn. You know, abortion is the leading cause of death in the United States and the world. Over 66 million babies' lives have been tragically taken since Roe v. Wade. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at an even greater risk. So in the midst of this awful tragedy, we can do something about it. Preborn and American Family Radio are asking you to partner with us to help moms choose life and to save 4,500 babies this week. Now, if you're not familiar with Preborn, Preborn is the direct competition to the abortion industry and the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the United States. By letting a woman see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life is doubled. Since 2007, Preborn has partnered with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across the nation, providing life-saving ultrasounds. Now, your sponsorship provides mothers who choose life with maternity and baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and much more, All these services are provided free of charge for up to 2 years of assistance. And so here is the way you can get involved. Your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. Now, a gift of $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. Perhaps you could sponsor five ultrasounds. Our goal is to help save 4,500 babies. So please consider a gift of any size. It all makes a difference. You can call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or donate online at afr.net. Well, we are going to the phone lines right now as we've been talking about the lessons learning that we can learn from the fires in Los Angeles, and we want to go to Scott in Mississippi. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Morning, Pastor Jeff. How are you doing
Morning.
Today, sir?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good. Get a lot of sermons out of the current events today, can't you?
Yeah, for sure.
I really kind of torn about this one, but I really feel like God just might be allowing enough to happen because of the reprobate minds that are concentrated in an area where much has been given and very little has been required. There's been zero accountability. I don't hear the word accountability used. It's almost like a curse word in talking to anybody in any official especially elected offices nowadays. Gavin yep. Newsom was recalled and then revoted. And I was telling you, call screener, I think if anybody had been put in other than Gavin Newsom in his place, we wouldn't know the difference. And I really think that he's not a manager. He's never seen himself as a manager. He's just a thief. I mean, given over to a reprobate mind, you're not thinking of yourself as stewarding anything of anybody else's. You're just grabbing for yourself. And with the press that we have today, how corrupt it is, and how propagandized it is to make everything the case for one side and against truth of any kind, against facts, then what do you, he's in an echo chamber, basically, like we Christians get sometimes, where we just see our own little problems in our own little world and collection of characters, so to speak, and we think that homelessness doesn't exist if we don't have to drive by it every day. I happen to live in a town where I see homeless people all the time. I used to live in a town a lot bigger. I never hardly saw homelessness because I didn't drive by it all the time because of the way it was, pushed to the side. And so it's really helping, I think, the church to see what's going to happen if we don't have truly repentance and revival.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pastor out in Chino Hills, he's on it. He's been on it. And it's so great to have men of the word who are straight, and mm-hmm. you don't have to, you know that God's truth is out there, and it's cutting through. The word of God is cutting through like a double-edged sword.
Right. That's a good word, Scott. I think you're right, and I think the Lord is, God can call, he's in charge of all things. He owns all things. California belongs to him. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. And every person belongs to him. Ezekiel 18:4, all souls are mine, the Lord says, and the soul that sins will die. It's impossible for God to commit murder. Some people like to say, well, God's a murderous, genocidal being. It's impossible for God to do that. He is the giver of life. At any moment, God can say, your lease on life is up. Just like in the parable in the book of Luke with the guy that built bigger barns. And the Lord said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So it is the man who is rich in this world but is not rich toward God. And so at any moment, I mean, we live by the grace of God, and at any moment he could say, that's your last breath. That's all the time I've allotted you. And he is God. He can do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to get any kind of a clearance from us. And so I think the Lord is using this as a warning to us and saying to Christians, hey, hold all things loosely. Everything's going to be tested by fire. And even our children, we can't hold on to them. I was reminded of a sermon I heard just this last week. Chuck Swindoll was talking about Corrie Ten Boom, and Corrie Ten Boom said, hey, Charles, Pastor Chuck, hold all things loosely, because then it won't hurt as much when the Father has to open your hand to take those things from you, because they all belong to God. And so you're exactly right. When we say, well, we don't need God, we shake our puny little fist in the face of God, as California has done with their policies, with their abortion policies, with their DEI and transgenderism celebrations and all the things that they do. Well, eventually, the patience of God is going to say enough. And if Sodom and Gomorrah don't serve as a strong warning to us, 2 Peter tells us that that serves as a warning that the Lord will judge those who choose to live ungodly thereafter. And if you don't want to be consumed in the judgment of God, you need to repent of your ways and come to Jesus. The door of the ark is open, but that the flood is coming, and so we need to be prepared, and we need to respond to the Lord while there's opportunity. So I appreciate that, Scott. Thanks for calling in. We have my buddy Lee from Virginia on the line. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, Pastor. I appreciate Scott's call there. I have been wondering this whole time, and, you know, I can't say for sure, but I've wondered, you know, is God trying to get California's attention? You know, Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. It seems like every crazy fad in this country starts in California and then works its way across the country. And, you know, Hollywood and those places are a seedbed for pornography, you know, laziness, don't expect people to work. And I just wonder, you know, if like you said, God has said enough is enough. And I remember when I was 48 years old, I've never had hobbies or anything, but I loved old cars. And I had two old cars that really meant a lot to me. And I had two new cars to drive. And one day I was cleaning on them, and the thought hit my mind, just went through my mind like an arrow. I wonder if God took all these stuff away from me, would I still serve him? Would I still love him? And it wasn't 4 months after that, I had lost both old cars, my job and everything, and I found out through a lot of trial that, you know, I did still love God. I can't say I didn't question him why this happened, but now the things that used to mean so much to me doesn't mean that much, and I was serving God at that time, but perhaps these things meant too much to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, that's the thing. That was the big test in the book of Job, is does Job fear God and serve God and love God for nothing, or does he fear and serve God and love God because God pays him off? That was what Satan was trying to get at. God, you have to pay your followers. Nobody would follow you for just who you are. Unless you bribe them, they won't follow you. And so Job proved that he loved God, served God, feared God for nothing, because just for the Lord himself, even though it was hard, because it is hard, and we are human beings, and when you lose everything, it is hard. But you have to say, Lord, I trust you. I don't understand, but I trust you. And that's Job passed the test with flying colors, one of the greatest believers in all the Bible is Job. So I appreciate the call, Lee. We have Jerry on the line from Texas. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you, brother. I'll keep it short. I know you're getting close on time. I do think it's a devastating tragedy what happened in California. However, I would ask, what is the combination or the thing that seems to be similar with what happened in California and their leadership and what happened in Western North Carolina and their leadership? And then to say that both of those states seem to say that the leadership reports to care about the people, but their actions don't speak that. And even in the Bible, we know that actions speak louder than words. But I just want to say, with everything that's going on in California, let us not forget the brethren and sister in Western North Carolina as this freeze is coming, and their intent is just not spoken enough. And it's tragic on both ends. But I'll let you go, brethren. Speak.
Right. That's a good point. We don't need to, we dare not forget them because those people are suffering. I think the big difference in my mind, Jerry, between those two things is it came out of left field for the hurricane to hit Western Carolina like it did and to come inland like that. They weren't expecting that at all. And preparing for that would be, I don't know how you prepare for a hurricane like that, but the situation in California, they know that's a constant issue. Just like Florida knows, it's a constant issue with hurricanes. And Ron DeSantis was prepared when the latest hurricane came. They had a staging area with all the trucks, and they're ready to go. They don't have reservoirs that are empty. They don't have fire hydrants that have no water in them in Florida, to use that analogy. DeSantis would have been prepared, and it's just tragic to see the unpreparedness and just seeming attitude of, well, we really don't care, we're not focused on that. That's really not on our radar screen at all, the fires in California. We're more concerned about how many women do we have on the fire department. Who gives a rip? That doesn't matter at all. What matters is those main things. And when the main thing is not still the main thing, you are off base, and that's what we have seen. And as this statement goes, DEI causes people to DIE, because it is focused on straining out a gnat while you're swallowing a camel. Well, we have time for one more call. William in Texas. William, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thanks, Pastor. Appreciate it. I agree 100% with you. DEI is awful for the country. I think, obviously, most companies are waking up to that, and I think the truth's coming to light. But I wanted to call in real quick and, you know, let's know, we had a good service yesterday. Pastor, you know, did a good job as usual. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, God didn't cause the fires in California, and I 100% believe that. But, you know, I do believe that the Lord will pull his protection and his angels from protecting if you don't walk with him and you keep going against the grain against him for so long. He's going to turn his face and, you know, this is the kind of things, the leadership that's in place and what transpired. You know, as bad as it is, there's plenty of good people in harm's way. Hopefully, right, the people who aren't following will turn back and repent and acknowledge him, you know?
Right. Well, you know, nobody likes to have the disaster strike, but we can learn a lot in disaster. Here's the thing that you have to watch out for, that your heart doesn't get bitter in the devastation, that you turn to the Lord. Because if you don't turn to the Lord, then you will get bitter, and then it'll be horrific. It'll just be that much worse. So we have to say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And we turn it over to the Lord, and we say, we don't understand, but we trust you. And as Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And that is a good word for all of us. Keep your eyes, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. The things in this world are uncertain, but he is our rock. He's our refuge. He's the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, and we can trust and rest in him. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. It's always a joy for me to be with you. Tomorrow we have Mike Huckabee on the program. He's going to talk about his job as he goes to Israel as the ambassador to Israel. You're not going to want to miss it. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things he's done for you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.